Good. Well, many thanks for joining with us this afternoon as we say our final farewells and pay our respects to Anne. Perhaps before we say anything else, we'll bow our heads, shall we, and ask for God's help this afternoon. Our Father, we do come into your presence this afternoon with thanksgiving. We give thanks, our Father, for a life that has been led, that has touched each one of us here. And we give thanks, our Father, for the character that we remember as being Anne, that strong character that provided home and shelter, kindness and care and love to so many. And we know, our Father, that there are many who will feel that loss today and overcoming days. And so we pray, Father, that we might be touched by a sense of thy comfort and thy peace. And we remember our Father so often with Anne, just coming before thee in prayer. And we know, our Father, that that is where our comfort lies. It's where our peace lies, not in this world that so often changes and disappoints, but it lies in thee, the God of all comfort. And we give thanks, our Father, for a God who understands our grief and our sorrows, one who bore them. Remember, our Father, the words of Isaiah, that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we give thanks, our Father, that we this afternoon can look back at Calvary and we can see a God who experienced pain and suffering and death and loss, and he did that for us. And we give thanks, our Father, that this afternoon we come in our sorrow and in our tears, we come, our Father, with a sense of hope, for we know, our Father, that they are not put to shame who trust in thee. And we remember, our Father, that it is the same Saviour that we can and do place our trust in, who was able to say at the grave of Lazarus, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die." So we do give thanks, our Father, for hope that we have in Christ, and we thank thee, our Father, for a life that has been lived and for the memories that each of us have. And we do just pray, our Father, this afternoon we might have a sense of peace and comfort, and help our Father all that is said to be for the glory of the Lord Jesus, for the blessing of each one here, and that it might bring a sense of hope and comfort as well as thanksgiving as we look back and thanks for the life of Anne. Be with us, our Father, this afternoon, we pray, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So many thanks again for being with us this afternoon. What we're going to do is, first of all, read some verses from the Word of God, and then I'm going to ask Shane to come up. He's going to share some thoughts with us, just a little reflection on his time with his gran, and a eulogy, and then we'll go back to the Word of God. And I have a few thoughts as well just to share with you too about my recollections and my time with Anne over the years, and maybe we can think about that as well. So I wanted to turn first, please, to the book of Hebrews, which we find in the New Testament of the Scriptures. And as I thought, you know, about Anne's passing, I knew that Anne had been very much an anchor, a stabilising effect in many folks over the years, and her door was open to all of us here, and I know that many found a place that they grew up in that little home down in Mason Avenue. She was an anchor, but in the years that I got to know Anne, I found that she too had an anchor, and the anchor that she perhaps experienced was reflected in the character that she had, that what she had known, she showed to others too. And there were many times in Mason Avenue, I think probably out of all of the homes in New Cumnock, that little house in Mason Avenue was the one in which I prayed the most. Because whenever Anne hit a problem, she always asked me before I left. Maybe it was because I was a doctor, she wanted me to pray, I don't know. But before I left, she always asked me to pray. And we did that so often. And that was the source of our strength, it was our faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, I wanted to read about that anchor in Hebrews chapter 6, a few verses here. Verse 15 says, "And so, after he had patiently endured," and that's Abraham in these verses, "after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing, more abundantly to show to the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. that by two unchangeable things, to which it was impossible for God to lie, that is his word and his promise, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, those verses might be strange to some, the words might be difficult, but I want to just leave you with a little picture that you can take home with. It's the picture of an upside down anchor. An upside down anchor. This is an anchor unlike any other anchor you'll ever see. If you do happen to go down to some of the coastal towns in Scotland, sometimes on the harbours, I think there's one at Arbroath, there's an anchor. And you're aware that the anchor drops down into the sea and it gives stability to the ship. This is an anchor that goes up. And we're anchored here in Hebrews 6, not by gravity, but in glory. We've got a hope in heaven and we've got an anchor in heaven. And that's what I wanted to think about in a minute or two, that anchor that we have in heaven and in the Lord Jesus. But first of all, I'm going to ask Shane if you would come up, Shane, and share something of your memories of your gran with us this morning, this afternoon.
Sorry. I'll do my best to read these words that I've written for my gran, and I've wrote it to the best of my ability. Forgive my words, for they are not adequate to describe my strength of feeling at this time, nor do they wholly encompass the person we are here to pay our respects to. It is with a heavy heart that I relate this speech, and hope it reaches you in the way it was intended. I can't begin to speak for everyone here, for they will all have their own story to tell, and I cannot tell it for them. I can only speak of the person I remember and the time I shared with her. The earliest and abiding memories I have since my childhood are of silence and emptiness. I have struggled with these thoughts and feelings all my life and come to terms with them in my own way. It was my grandmother who filled those empty spaces and over time gave me strength of purpose. She taught me how to live and how to face the world without turning away from it. She understood me in a way deeper than I understood myself. Her voice will rebound in my heart and soul until my last days and give me comfort in times of sorrow. She took me in during a time of uncertainty and raised me as her own. She was with me when I was wrestling with the world and feelings of helplessness and hopelessness and futility. It is by her instruction that I became the man I am today, whilst also ushering the vision of the man I wish to become. Her home was a haven for all lost children and was never big enough for the love in her heart. She gave me a place to lay my head at night and a knowledge that she was always there when I needed her most. My grandmother also struggled with her own thoughts and feelings throughout the years, and I and others tried to ease her pain and give her hope to carry on just as she had given it to us. Hers was a life of hardship and tragedy that I would not wish anyone to endure, yet she endured it and still found blessings in the everyday and otherwise mundane. She could be stubborn and headstrong at times, but perhaps she had to harden her heart every now and then for the sake of survival. She persevered through myriad trials and tribulations and brought so many into this world, some of whom are here today. Many have started families of their own. Some will not have the chance to meet her. Perhaps some of her spirit resides in them still. In her last years, she showed courage and good humour despite adverse conditions. She fought till her strength was depleted and slipped away into that vast unknown country where there is only peace and want for nothing. I make no apologies for my grandmother, for hers was a troubled yet beautiful life. Beautiful in its purity of truth that lay waste to all falsehoods, She chased away the shadows at the end of day to give us all a chance to live to see another. She sowed the seeds so that we may gather the harvest. For those who would struggle without her, she would not wish us to lose herself in grief. She gave part of her life so that we could have our own. It is that act of love, kindness and sacrifice that shall remain the cornerstone of my being. In her presence, I found joy. In her words, I found comfort. In her wisdom, I found reason. And in her courage, I found strength. In her arms, I was complete. It is in this way that I remember her. Now, I would like to leave you with an excerpt from a letter written by Sullivan Ballou. Now, this is from the American Civil War. It penned on the eve of battle on July 14th, 1861. Now, Ballou was a Union soldier who had left behind a widow and two sons, and these are some of his last words, as he suspected his fate would be grievous. And I will read from them now. But oh Sarah, if the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they loved, I shall always be near you, in the garish day and the darkest night, amidst your happiest scenes and gloomiest hours, always, always. And if the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath. Or the cool air cools your throbbing temples, it shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn for me, dear. Think I am gone, and wait for me, for we shall meet again.
A very personal tribute. Thanks very much for that, Shane. Obviously, my encounters with Anne were not as deep or personal as that, but sadly, oftentimes I met with Anne during times of difficulty, and her greatest sorrows, as I'm sure you all know, were the loss of her children. And I met her particularly, got to know her particularly after Mickey was killed, and then later on with the loss of John. And both of those events had a tremendous effect on Anne. She was, of course, the matriarch of a great family, and I picked that up on many an occasion. After Michael passed away, her husband, she was really left in charge of you guys, and I think she did her best to try and knock you into shape. At least that's what Shane tells me that his grand did for him, and knocked him into shape. And I remember going down many years ago when Shane was just a wee boy and Nan was very concerned about him. But, you know, as the years went on, she was delighted at the progress that you've made and the man that you've become, Shane. You've really done her proud. I've got a list of names. Some of you are children, some of you are grandchildren, and some of you were grandchildren who effectively became her children. And that was the kind of heart that she had. And there's over 40, I believe, in the child-grandchild list, and I'm not going to go through them all, but Wilma, Isabel, and John, who has gone before. Michael, that I knew personally, and I felt that loss along with Anne. And that, as you remember, I'm sure, was a real blow to her. Aileen, that's representing Michael today, I know. Margaret Ann, of course, John Ross, as well as Shane, and then other grandchildren that maybe I don't know. Thanks for coming along today. Anne was born and brought up in the village of New Cumnock, carried to her own name, predeceased by her siblings. And I remember a particular care that she had for Mrs. Chidwick. I remember I was here long enough to remember Mrs. Chidwick, who lived just across the road there. And Anne had that care, not just for her immediate family, but I remember her going up and down there quite often and nipping my heed about Mrs. Chidwick, see how she was getting on. She really did have a real concern. She had a heart for people and a love for people, as Shane has shared with us. And the centre of Anne's life wasn't material things at all, but it was the people that were important to her, her children and her grandchildren. I've heard one or two stories about that love. It was Aileen that was telling me that in years gone by, I remember folks doing this in years gone by. They used to put money into Christmas cards. We've all been told that you really shouldn't do that because maybe not everybody in the post office is 100% honest. Well, I suppose Anne, being of the old-fashioned type, did just that, and there was £100 put in the Christmas card a number of years ago when £100 was a lot of money. I think maybe today it gets you a loaf of bread, but £100 in years gone by, a lot of money. She put that in the post, and off it went to Ireland, but never reached its destination for Christmas for Elaine. And then the next thing she knew, Anne and Michael in those days was in the car, and they had travelled all the way from New Cumnock over to the south of Ireland to deliver a second Christmas card with a second £100. She really did have a heart for her family, her children and her grandchildren. She was active and busy. Her priority was providing for you folks, and she had a number of jobs. Cleaning, for example, was one that came to mind. Worked in McKechnie's garage. Days of McKechnie's garage really are past in New Cumnock, but she was down there working to provide. And prior to that, of course, on one of our trips down south, she spent a little bit of time in Glasgow, I believe, and a little bit of time down in England, as well as having Irish connections, so she was really pretty international. But in one of the trips down down in England, of course, she met Michael when she was working as a bus conductress. He was a bus driver, I believe. There was a little bit of an age gap between them, about the 10-year mark, and I believe that Michael's chat-up line was a question, would you be interested in going out with an old man like me? Well, she was, and that was a union that really began a second family, and it was one that lasted right and endured right until the death of Michael. It really did prove the test of time, and that certainly was true. She was indeed interested in that. My encounters with Anne over the years, as I've said, have been through times of difficulty and trial. That's really when we got to know her best, with Michael passing and John passing. And then latterly, over the last couple of years, there's been a steady deterioration in Anne, and she used to come here on a Sunday from time to time when she was fitter, until really the stage when she couldn't get out of the house at all. She really deteriorated quite a bit. But she bore it uncomplainingly. You never get any moans or groans from Anne. Usually a reluctance to go into the hospital. She didn't like to be told what to do. I think we've picked that up already from Shane. She didn't want to go in there, but sadly, reluctantly, over the past year or so, she spent quite a bit of time there as her health was failing, but bore it with tremendous fortitude and with great grace. And part and parcel of that strength, I do believe, lay in Anne's faith. And that's why I read here in Hebrews chapter number 6 about an anchor. You know, as I was thinking about this afternoon, I thought maybe there's three things that I would like to do. And first, maybe I think Shane's done already for us, and that's to give some thanksgiving for the life that's been lived. Shane's done that far better than I could do. And secondly, maybe to bring just a little bit of comfort. And to bring comfort, we need to go beyond thanksgiving. Because if we just go back and we say, well, that was good, what we had, but we've lost it, that doesn't really bring much comfort, does it, to us? But it's gone. And so there's something else we have to have comfort, and that's hope. That we have something not only to look back on, or someone to look back on, but we have somewhere to look forward to, and that's hope. And that's what we have here in Hebrews chapter number 6. And I do believe that's what Anne did day by day. And at the times when I visited her, she often asked to go to this place of Hebrews 6 in prayer. Let me just remind you of that verse there in Hebrews 6 verse 18, that by two unchanging things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, something that brings us stability, something that brings us certainty, something that brings us hope. And Hebrews 6 speaks about first looking back at the promises of God. And this, I'm not going to give you a big sermon, but maybe this is a good time just to remember that as we lay Anne to rest, as we part from Anne, that we don't just have a hope that's based upon fairy stories or wishful thinking, but we have a hope that's certain and sure. It's founded upon the promises of God. Hebrews 6:13, for when God made promises to Abraham. So you and I can look back through the pages of our Bible, and we can be absolutely sure that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it is on someone solid and sure. because the person of the Lord Jesus, the promises concerning him are founded in the Old Testament of the Bible, and it runs for 3,000 years. There's 3,000 years worth of promises about Christ. Over 300 prophecies about the Lord Jesus. We knew where the Saviour would be born from the Old Testament. We knew where he would die in the book of Daniel. We knew that he would die for our sins, says Isaiah. We knew that he would suffer for our sins, Isaiah 53. We knew that he would be wounded in his hands and his feet, Psalm 22. And we knew that he would go to the place that you and I all will go to, that is death. Psalm 16 speaks about that. And beyond death, resurrection and hope. And that's all written before he comes. And then he comes. And then he fulfills that. And why do I tell you that? I tell you that for this reason, that if I take my faith and my trust and I place it in the person of Jesus Christ, I'm resting in God's plan, God's purpose, something sure, something certain. It's an anchor, an anchor. An anchor, says Hebrews chapter 5, not just in an idea or a religion, and maybe many of us go, some of us go to church, maybe some of us have been baptized. That's not the anchor that's spoken about here in Hebrews chapter number 6. The anchor is a person. Verse number 20, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The hope that Anne had, and the hope that I have, and I trust it's the hope that you too might have, lies in the person of Jesus Christ. Do I have any hope that Anne might indeed be in the heaven that Hebrews 6 speaks about? Yes, I do, because she shared with me her personal faith in the Lord Jesus. Do I have a hope of resurrection beyond this grave and beyond this death? Yes, I do, because Anne shared with me her personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And a number of years ago, I believe she went along to the Baptist church and heard the good news of the Lord Jesus. She heard about a God who loved her, a Christ who died for her. And I believe that she professed faith in that Saviour. And I believe, too, she was baptised in acknowledgement of that. And that faith, whilst at times she might not always have gone to church, that wasn't the most important thing. The important thing about her faith was that it was founded in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. Because, in the word of God, it's only the Lord Jesus who can save. I give unto my sheep, says the Lord Jesus in John 10, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's his gift. He gives it. And he secures it. He makes it certain. And they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. And when we rest our soul and our hope and our salvation in Christ, it's sure and it's certain. And nothing can change that. And so in Hebrews chapter 6, we're encouraged to look back. Shane's helped us to look back personally today at the life of Anne. I look back from where I am and I remember some of the times I had in that little house and some of the sad times as we encountered grief and suffering. And some of the happy times as well, as she quite often put me right, you know. She didn't always agree with me, did you know that? Did she kind of speak her mind at times? I think she did, didn't she? Aye, I think she did. Well, she spoke her mind to you. She spoke her mind to me as well. She told me when I was wrong as well. That was the kind of person she was. And we can all look back at those times with a smile, can't we? And sometimes with a tear. But these verses, they encourage us not only to look back, but how about looking forward? And that's where hope comes. And if we want to look forward in hope of resurrection and salvation, we look up. And that's where the anchor comes. Hebrews chapter 6. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Shane's spoken about a place that was, I don't know if you said it this afternoon, but you said it at home, a place that was safe, and a place that was... There was a real home, and there was a stability there in that home for, I know, for Shane and John Ross and many, many others as well. Where did that stability come from? Where did that strength come from? Certainly came from her character. She had plenty of that. But I do believe, too, that at least in part it came from her faith. Because I saw that. I saw that when we came to the house. And before you go, doctor, would you pray before you go? It's not really part of the NHS, you know, but she always made sure she got that as well as a prescription. Because she knew that ultimately, whilst in the passing moments of life, maybe sometimes health might be in the hands of a human being, ultimately, our life is in the hands of God. And she rested in that, in faith and in hope. Let's just bow our heads, shall we, in thanksgiving, commit ourselves to the Lord and ask for his help. And then we can proceed, sadly, to the crematorium. Let's pray. Our Father, we do come into your presence this afternoon, and we come with thanksgiving. We look back, in a sense, with a smile, giving thanks for those times that we've shared with Anne. And we thank thee, our Father, for those happy times. We thank thee for the character that she was, a woman who knew her own mind and who was not afraid to speak it. And maybe, our Father, we could be more like that at times ourselves. We thank thee, our Father, too, for the kindness of her heart, a kindness that overflowed, that not only brought up one family, but a second family, and then another generation as well. And a place and a heart that found that a love was found for the next generation, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. And we thank thee, our Father, for her delight in her children. She often spoke of it, and we know too, Father, that that too was a great source of sorrow. And we remember the way, our Father, that the tears were shed there over the years as some were lost and went before her. And we thank thee, our Father, too, for the faith that we shared with Anne. And we thank thee, our Father, for those times that she always turned to thee in faith and prayer. And we thank thee, our Father, that that surely was a reflection of faith in the Lord Jesus. And so this afternoon we look back with thanksgiving, but surely we can look forward in hope. And we give thanks, our Father, that that hope is founded in a person. And we thank thee, our Father, for a hope that's in heaven, that's a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, for a Saviour who loved us, who gave himself for us, a Saviour who died on the cross, that we might indeed have the gift of eternal life. That he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For a God who loved this world so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we thank thee, our Father, for that faith that that Anne had and rested. And we thank thee, our Father, that that's a faith that endures now and forever. We pray, our Father, for each member of the family, particularly here this afternoon. We pray that in coming days they might know your peace, your comfort, your strength. And we pray, our Father, that not only memories but hope would bring comfort at these times of loss. So be with us, our Father. Give help later on as we would say our final farewells and part with Anne. And we do offer thanks, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This kind of love is more than a lifeline. For a man as weak as me, who has no self-belief, this kind of love more than amazing.